Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Hockey Writers Podcast. I'm Sebastian Noren, and by my virtual side is Marcy DeMichel. How are you doing, Marcy?
I'm doing pretty good.
How is the weather in Montreal?
Well, it's been snowing a lot, but it seems to have stopped, so hopefully the worst is over.
Okay. Well, is it the nice kind of snow where it actually stays on the ground for a bit, or is it just turning to slush?
It stays on the ground. I wouldn't say it's nice because it's causing like a lot of problems on the roads, but I mean, I guess it's pretty to look at if you want to say that.
Yeah, because that was the thing, you know, growing up in Sweden, we would have some pretty, you know, harsh winters too and a lot of snow. And, you know, it was always nice when it was actually staying on the ground and, you know, you go out and play and have snowball fights and all that. But, you know, the worst was when it would snow like a lot one day, and then the next day it would just rain, and everything just turns to this awful gray slush.
Yeah, that is bad.
Yeah, still no snow here in Phoenix. If we would ever have snow here, I think it would be chaos. We might get a little bit of rain, and that's bad enough here. People forget how to drive, and it's pretty bad.
I could imagine.
Yeah, no, it's funny because, you know, growing up, you know, in a snowy place, and you learn how to drive in the snow, and then you get, you know, like first I came to California, and then here in Arizona, and as soon as it rains, people just freak out.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's true. Funny.
Well, enough about the weather. Let's jump into the hockey. That's why we're here, and we'll start with some general news and updates, and let's start with the biggest injury news this past week, and that's Corey Perry, a lower body injury. And it looks like he'll be gone for about 4 to 6 weeks. And just how detrimental can this be for the Ducks?
Well, you know, Perry, over his career, he's not the kind of guy who misses a lot of games, so they're not used to having him out of the lineup. But this year has been, so far, a little tough for him. I mean, he had the mumps, so he missed some games for that, and now he's out again. The Ducks, they're a great team. I think they're first in the NHL right now, so, I mean, they'll miss him, but at the same time, like I said, he's been out a bit this season already, and, I mean, I would say the acquisition of Kessler has made a big difference because it provides that depth that they didn't have before. And I mean, obviously you don't want, you know, one of your best players out of the lineup, but I mean, it's not really long-term. It's about a month. He'll be out. I think they'll be okay, but hopefully for his sake, you know, he can come back 100% because you don't want to be without that guy for too long.
No. And I mean, they have a pretty substantial injury list here too. You got, you know, sure, Danny Heatley hasn't set the world on fire, but Heatley's out, Lovejoy's out, Boschman is out, they have Gibson, LaBarbera, Brewer, Chylensurre even. So, you know, adding your best goal scorer to that injury list, it's, you know, we'll see how, I think they'll do fine, but we'll see. Ryan Getzlaff has, you know, he's got to lead that first line with I think he skated with Bork and Devontae Smith-Pelly last game. So, we'll see.
It says a lot about how good that team is, the fact that they have had so many injuries already this season and they're still in first place. So, I mean, you know, they might slip a little, but I don't know. I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, and the lineup doesn't look too bad even with all the injuries. You know, you still have a second line of, you know, Kessler leading the way there, and Palmieri and Bolesky, and a solid third line with Cogliano, Raquel, and Silverberg. So we'll just see how they do on the back end because, you know, a couple of injuries to some pretty good defensemen there. But we wish Corey Perry all the best. And, yep. One of a lot of players who gotten the mumps. I know that.
Yes.
We got a couple of guys in New Jersey that got it now. I think it was Adam Larson and one more player. Name slips me right now, but yeah, mumps going around. It's weird. I read some statistic that only, I think it was around a little above 500 people got it in the U.S. last year. And I mean, we have, what, 20 players so far this season?
Yeah, it's a bit unusual, but you know, the problem with a sickness like the mumps is that it's so contagious, and the way that the players, you know, they're always together, the closeness, you know, in the locker room and all that, it's like the perfect, unfortunately, the perfect breeding ground for that kind of outbreak. So I'm hoping, you know, that it's on its way out now, because it's a tough thing to deal with. So hopefully for those players who have it, that they, you know, make a full recovery and that it's on its way out.
Yeah, hopefully, because it sounds really painful, too. We've discussed it some on previous podcasts, but yeah, not the best symptoms, especially if you're a guy.
Yes, that's true.
Yep. Well, let's jump to our next thing here, and that's trades, and there's not been a lot. There's only been a lot of up and down from the minors, but we got one trade last Friday where the Arizona Coyotes sent Rob Klinkhammer to the Pittsburgh Penguins in exchange for Philip Samuelson and a conditional draft pick for 2016. I believe it was a fifth-round pick. The condition is that Philip Samuelson has to play 40 games for the Coyotes this season, which is, I don't know, not likely, no. Depends on injuries and stuff, of course, but we'll see. Philip Samuelson, of course, is the son of former Coyotes coach or assistant coach Ulf Samuelson. He was a good player in his own right back in the days. The nickname was RoboCop. He was a tough son of a gun. But yeah, what's your take on this trade? I know that, you know, the Penguins were screaming for wingers, but is Rob Klinkhammer really the answer?
Well, you know, the problem with the Penguins, I actually felt before the season started that they, for the first time in a while, had a lot more depth on wing than they've had in the past. But you know, it's unbelievable the way that they get ravaged by injuries. It's crazy. I mean, all their top six wingers are out. And, you know, there's not a lot you can really do about that, unfortunately. And Klinkhammer, I don't know a lot about him, but, I mean, I wouldn't categorize him as a top six winger. So I feel like, you know, they got another depth guy. But, I mean, at the moment, they really need, you know, they need more high-end guys. But, I mean, it's hard to get those guys by trade, especially at this point in the season. But, I mean, you know what, he's going to have a chance, obviously, because of the injuries. And, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, he might end up, you know, you put anyone with Crosby or Malkin and suddenly, you know, they turn into a big-time goal scorer like we've seen it happen with so many guys. So, I mean, I hope he makes a difference for them. But, I mean, ultimately, he's not going to be that top six replacement that they need. But, I mean, they need something because the injuries are just crazy right now.
Yeah, I would say, you know, he's a hardworking player. He's really, you know, he's a good forechecker. He, you know, uses his body well. Has a decent shot, but yeah, not the natural goal scorer type player, but definitely a good addition to the Penguins locker room. He was a guy that was very appreciated out here in Arizona, but like you say, he's not that top six winger. Although, you know, like you said, Malkin and Crosby can make pretty much anyone look good. I think I would score 20 goals playing next to Crosby.
Yeah.
So we'll see how Rob does. You know, he was definitely a fan favorite out here. A lot of people were sad to see him go, but at the same time, they have other pieces because he was a bottom six guy over here too. So, and I for some reason, the Arizona Coyotes have this love affair with players that are sons of former players. So it was not a big shock to see a Philip Samuelson come over here, and now he gets the chance to play with his younger brother Henrik in the AHL in Portland, and then we'll see if he can take the step up and play with the big boys. But I think he'll make the team sooner or later in the third defensive pairing. Kind of tough to break into the top six there. But we'll see. I mean, it's not a bad trade for either party. I think that, you know, there's been a lot of talk about how good the prospect pool were here in Arizona on the defensive side, but it's sort of run dry now with Gormley and Murphy being up. There's not a lot left in Portland, so adding Samuelson to that mix is definitely a plus for them.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, on Pittsburgh's end, the one thing they are strong with is depth defensemen, especially prospects. And Samuelson, I mean, I don't know, I think he can be a good, you know, maybe a good bottom pairing guy, but, you know, he was definitely, you know, a little bit down on the depth chart. You know, they have guys like Pouliot and Harrington and those kind of guys who were definitely ahead of him. So, you know, they're able to deal from a position of strength. They've drafted so many defensemen and not so many forwards, so that the trade definitely makes sense for them.
Yep. Yeah, we'll see, and we'll see if Rob gets the chance to play with either Malkin or Crosby, and then he'll turn into this goal-scoring machine. Now, I do think that Pittsburgh did a great pickup. This is sort of a sidetrack now, but I think they did a good deal there getting Patrick Hornqvist, because that's a guy who can... he'll be able to score a lot of goals playing with a proper centerman.
Oh, I think that a lot of Penguins fans, you know, when they got rid of James Neal, there was a bit of like, you know, how could you, you know, we have no depth on wing, and he was such a good goal scorer, and it was a lot of people were confused about that, but I don't think they realized how good Hornqvist is. He has an element, you know, the way he goes to the net is something that the Penguins have not done very well in the past, and he's like the perfect guy for that. And I mean, he's hurt now, but hopefully he was skating today, so he should be back soon. Yeah, he's honestly a perfect guy for them. So I think Neal was a great player too, but I prefer Hornqvist's game over Neal. I think that he's the kind of player that the Penguins needed a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so one last piece of news before we head into our big discussion topic. And the Ottawa Senators decided to fire Paul MacLean. He was the first coach to go this year, a little bit unexpected. But what's your take on this? I mean, this is a guy who won the Jack Adams Award just two seasons ago.
Yeah. You know, Paul MacLean is a good coach. He led them to the playoffs 2 years in a row. And, you know, the Senators, they weren't expected to make the playoffs those years. And he managed to, I don't know what it was, but he just managed to get them to buy in, and they did so well, so much better than people expected. But you know what, in all honesty, this year especially, they're a bubble playoff team. It's not like they're underachieving, and I think that can't be forgotten here. I don't think that he got fired because they're playing bad, because honestly, I think they're playing exactly how we expected them to play. I mean, they got rid of Spezza, didn't really replace him. You know, last year they weren't great. They're the kind of team that relies on their goalies to do everything. I feel that, you know, the coach and the management, they just weren't seeing eye to eye. And, you know, the GM felt like he needed a change, and the coach was going to be the guy to go. I think it has nothing to do with McLean's coaching ability. I think he'll get another job soon. I just think that, you know, it just wasn't the right fit anymore in the eyes of the GM. And, you know, maybe, you know, Brian Murray's he used to be the coach, right? He's the kind of guy who he likes to have a say on what's happening on the ice. And I just think that, you know, they weren't in agreement over a lot of issues. And you know what, when that happens, it's usually the coach who pays the price.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad to see. And like you said, look at their roster. I mean, it's pretty poor.
Yes.
I mean, you got Erik Karlsson, and sure, you got Bobby Ryan and Cal Turris, but I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And like you said, the goaltenders have to carry a big load out there in Ottawa, so we'll see what happens. Assistant Dave Cameron is going to take over here, and do you think that they'll look for someone else after the season, or... do you think Cameron is going to stay on?
Well, you know, Cameron deserves a shot. So they definitely want to give him a chance. I mean, I kind of feel for him, though, because I don't know how much more he can do with this roster. And, you know, that's not going to be his fault. So I hope that he doesn't end up taking the fall, you know, because the team's not good enough. I think that because he's an inexperienced guy, Brian Murray will be able to have much more of a say, you know what I mean? And the coach will be, you know, kind of have to listen because he's very inexperienced. So I feel like that's kind of what they want right now. You know, bringing in a really experienced coach, he might want to do his own thing, and then you'll have the same problem. So I feel like they're going to give him as much chance as possible, but I don't know what he can do with this team. I you know, they're going to probably win a few games, that usually happens with a new coach, but, you know, they are what they are. They're a 500 team.
Yeah. Yep, I do agree with you there. Yeah, we'll see. Paul McLean definitely needs to get a new job, because we can't miss out on that beautiful mustache of his.
Exactly.
The walrus, as his endearing nickname. Yeah, so that's the latest news. Let's jump over to our first discussion topic here. And we learned that the NHL is sort of testing the waters as far as maybe putting a team in Las Vegas. And this is kind of interesting, at least if you look at just what kind of a city Las Vegas is. It's even more, we always talk about, you know, Phoenix being a transplant city, but look at Vegas. I mean, how many, you know, there's not a lot of native Las Vegans. Is that what you would call them?
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, they've reached out and they said that, you know, you can start looking around a little and test, you know, the waters for, you know, how season tickets interest and stuff like that. But how do you think a team in Las Vegas would actually work?
Well, okay, my take on this, I mean, I look at Gary Bettman and I look at him as a, he's a proud guy. When he gets an idea, he wants it to work. And I think, you know, the biggest reason why Phoenix is still has a team. And he, you know, got it in his head that he wants the NHL in Las Vegas. I mean, you know, the way they put the NHL awards there, and, you know, he wants Vegas to be a hockey city. But, you know, like you said, I mean, Vegas is probably the most unique city in the country. And there's going to be a lot of interest at first because it's a new thing, right? It's a novelty. It's like, oh, hockey, like, you know, we have to go check it out. And so I feel like they're going to be trying to see if people are going to buy tickets. And you know what? Of course they are at the beginning. But is this actually a place that's going to have a sustained fan base over multiple years? I'm just not sure. And especially if it's a bad team. You know what I mean? Like, if it's like a great team that's winning and in the playoffs, well, you know, people always get into that hype in most cities, right? Yeah. But, you know, if it's not a good team, the novelty is going to wear off pretty fast. I don't see it. You know, if Bettman wants the NHL to get all the attention, like, look, oh my goodness, a hockey team in Vegas, everyone's going to be watching. Like, I understand that, but is that really what the sport needs? I don't think so, but I feel like if that's what he wants, he's going to do whatever it takes to make it work.
Yeah, so he, you know, he gave permission to potential owner Bill Foley to do a season ticket drive and sort of see the interest there. But I think that, you know, they have they're going to have the arena for it. MGM is building a brand new sports complex, so that won't be an issue. I think that if the hotels, you know, if they buy a lot of tickets or boxes or whatever, you can still fill the seats. It's just that it's going to be a lot of, you know, instead of having regular season ticket holders, I think it's going to be a lot of the hotels buying a bunch of tickets and then pretty much giving them to people. Or, you know, maybe you can buy them at a pretty heavy discount or whatever if you're staying at this certain hotel or whatever. But, you know, I think it's a cool idea. But like you said, I mean, they need to be a competitive team, because if you know, if they're going to come in and then suck pretty bad, you know, in the beginning, the novelty is going to wear off. So they would definitely have to spend some money to get some top talent in there. But,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. To me, it feels like a gimmick, kind of. You know, like, And people are going to be interested. Of course they are. They're going to be like, oh, what's this? It's hockey. Let's go check it out. And I'm sure that for a while it's going to be pretty successful. I'm sure that, you know, like you said, the hotels are going to package the tickets and it's going to work for a while. But I think it will wear off. I feel like, you know, the NHL has made this mistake before. Like, I feel like why again are we going to a city that, you know, isn't really a hockey city and almost trying to force it to become one? I'm not really sure why. That's, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, but at the same time, it is a market that, you know, is pretty untapped. Because, I mean, none of the major sports are in Vegas. So
yeah, that's true.
It would be interesting to see, because, I mean, if it does pay out, then it's going to be a huge boost. I'm just wondering how they're going to do it. Are they going to put all the home games on weekends? Because, I mean, sure, you know, people go to Las Vegas, you know, all year round and during the week. But, I mean, weekends and holidays are sort of their, you know, biggest draw.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really interesting. I think it's a gutsy move if they do end up putting an expansion team in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But it's going to be either a great success or it's going to fail miserably.
Yeah, I mean, look, I guess the way I feel about it, it's like, you know, the NHL has struggling teams. You know, Florida, I mean, there's the way their attendance has been. I mean, always trouble in Phoenix. You know, New Jersey. I want it to work. I hope it works. But, you know, we don't need another struggling team. And so especially if it's an expansion team, which is a possibility, you know, you're adding, you know what I mean? It's just, I feel like it's that's the last thing the NHL needs is another struggling team that's, you know, going to have to move. And so for that, I really hope it works.
It's interesting because we don't want a team to, you know, an expansion team to go there and then fail and then have to relocate in, you know, a short amount of time. I don't know how many years they would accept the team being miserable. But
yeah,
it's like I said, it's either going to be a big success or it's going to be a epic failure.
Exactly, yep.
So, yeah. And, you know, sort of billing on this topic, we're going to talk about what other cities are sort of in the pipeline to possibly be an expansion team. Because I think that's most likely the way we're going to see hockey in another city. It's going to be through expansion. I don't think relocation is really on the map right now. I think, you know, you spoke about Bettman and his determination a little bit earlier, and I think that's really why I think expansion is going to be the next step and not relocating an existing team.
Yeah.
So with that said, there's always a lot of talk about Quebec City and Seattle.
Yeah. Well, living in Montreal, I think I know a lot about Quebec City, and it's a great hockey city. I mean, you know, it lost its team, not because the fans didn't like hockey anymore. Just there's a lot of circumstances going against the team that I think now would not be there. I mean, you know, Quebec City is one of those places. You know, it's a small, it's not a big market, and that's always going to be, you know, a strike against it. But I mean, you look at how the team. When a team went back to Winnipeg and it's doing well. I mean, maybe not totally on the ice, but, you know, fan base wise, the fans love it. So I think Quebec City would be a similar situation. I don't want to say the word deserve. I mean, you know, you can say cities deserve a team. I think that Quebec City, it needs to be on the radar. I think one thing that's working against it definitely is the fact that it's in the East. And logistic-wise, you know, I could see a place like Las Vegas or Seattle getting a team before, because there's already not enough teams in the West. So if you put an expansion team in Quebec City, that makes it even more unbalanced. So as much as I would love to see a team back in Quebec City, because it's a great hockey market, I look at Seattle as maybe a more of a possibility, and Seattle's a great sports town as well. I think it could work there. I actually think hockey would work better in Seattle than Las Vegas. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that. I think that it would be nice with another team in Canada. But it's just, yeah, is the market really there? I mean, there's even talk about putting a second team in Toronto. Toronto might actually have the base to cover that. Because, as we all know, Canadians love hockey, and Toronto especially, they don't have enough seats. You know, I don't even want to know how long the wait list is for season tickets in Toronto. It's probably the same deal in Montreal, though. I bet that wait list is pretty long.
Yes.
So if you have kids, sign them up now, and by the time they're 18, they might have a shot. No, so I mean, it's always tough to, and you know, just the whole thing with, yeah, it should be, you know, preferably two teams sort of on the western side so we can balance out the conferences and, you know, all that stuff. But I don't know. I feel like Seattle, there's not an arena in place. That's a pretty big minus for them.
Yeah.
It is a town that, you know, if you look at their other sports, I mean, I think their soccer team average is about 40,000 people per game. Yeah. So I think the interest for sports in general is there. It's just you need that arena before you can seriously talk about putting a team there. You know, as far as Quebec City go, you know, I don't know enough about the town itself and the interest in sports, but, you know, I think a lot of people were sad to see the Quebec Nordiques go, but, you know, is it a sure thing that if they get a team back that they're going to be able to sustain it this time? Because, I mean, at the end there, when they were the Nordiques, attendance was poor, it was sort of mismanaged, and it was not a big surprise that the team got relocated.
Well, I mean, you know, Quebec City, especially back then when it moved, I mean, there was a lack of corporate sponsors, which, I mean, I wouldn't say that that's necessarily changed, but, you know, that was a problem. There's a problem, you know, there was no, English-speaking television that could broadcast the games, you know, and it was mismanaged, you're right. And I just think there's just a lot of factors that went into the problems there, but I know that fan interest was not the problem. I think, you know, it was just one of those situations that everything kind of went wrong. All the things that could have gone wrong went wrong at that time. And I just think that now, I think it would be different. I know it would be different. And they're definitely hungry to have a team back there. And, you know, the potential owners, the potential, you know, people that would manage that team, like they're kind of operating as if they're going to get a team back. Like they're doing whatever they can to get that team. So I really believe that it'll work this time around, as long as, you know, the issues that they had are fixed and, you know, they don't end up with the same problems that they had the last time.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think we can disregard the geographical standpoint here too, because it wouldn't make a lot of sense to put Quebec in the Western Conference.
No.
And then which, you know, what team do you move over then? It's sort of a toughie because you got, you know, Detroit after all these years, you know, they finally get to move over to the East. Are you going to be like, hey, can you move back?
Yeah, as much as I'd love to see a team back in Quebec, I really think that the only possibility would be a relocation for them. So, for example, if Florida, just saying Florida, if Florida would move, that would make the most sense. You keep them in the same division, and that's, you know, that would work. So in terms of expansion, it would be really tough to put an expansion team in Quebec City. So I think under those circumstances, it's going to be, if they really, really want to expand, it's going to be to Las Vegas. Like, I don't see any other possibility. If there's a relocation, whoever it might be, I can see that working, because it's most like it's going to be an Eastern team that would relocate. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's really a guessing game, of course, and we don't have more facts than anyone else. But, I mean, if you look at Canada, though, I mean, would it be able to maybe put a team in Saskatchewan? Or are there just not enough people living in Saskatchewan?
Well, you know, Saskatchewan, their junior hockey team gets a lot of support. So in terms of, you know, is there a hockey fan base? Absolutely. But I look at Saskatchewan as another city that, you know, we're talking about the need for corporate sponsors, the need for, you know, television contracts and all that kind of stuff. It's a little bit more difficult there. But in terms of fans, oh man, I think they would, I mean, they have a Canadian Football League team, and they, I mean, the fans for that team is just, it's crazy. They travel well, you know, they're everywhere. So if we're speaking just in terms of fans, I think Saskatchewan would be great, but for everything else, I'm just not sure that it's the kind of city that can have a major sports team. But, you know, I would say if you're going to put another team in Canada and you want it, you know, more towards the West, Saskatchewan is definitely something to look at. I'm not sure they've been considered, but, you know, in terms of fans, those cities in Canada, you know, the more northern cities and stuff like that, they love their hockey. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, because I just feel like if you look at it from a geographical standpoint, then Saskatchewan would kind of make sense if you want to put another team in Canada. Yeah, it's sort of a guessing game. Like you said, there need to be sponsors, and there's so many things that needs to fall in place in order to get a team. And, yeah, we'll just see what happens. But I definitely think it's going to come through expansion. Yeah. And then maybe after the expansion, then you might see a team relocate or two teams relocate, depending on what happens as far as ownership and stuff. I know there's been a lot of talk out here, of course, with the whole thing about maybe selling 51% of the ownership to Bear Away, and we'll see what happens. There's still no official word on it. We got reports that it might be, you know, that the deal might be floundering a bit, but we'll see what happens. We still don't have any official announcements on that yet. But if you would have to pick a city that you think really deserves a team, you don't have to think about geographical, you don't have to think about sponsorship or anything, just a city that really deserves to have an NHL team, what city would you choose?
Well, I mean, I have to say Quebec City, just because I think if you look at it, you know, from the outside, you would say, oh, well, you know, the fans lost interest, but I don't think that it was that. I think it was just a lot of, you know, issues that were kind of out of their control that caused that team to move. And, you know, I think that I want to see teams in cities where they love hockey so much that's why they want a team. Not a city that you're like, well, there are big sports markets, so let's hope that hockey works, or let's see if hockey works, or maybe it could work. Like, I want to see a team in a place where the fans are just so hungry for hockey that's why they're there. They're not there because it's like a novelty or because it's like, oh, this is new, let's see what this is all about, and then next month we'll try something different. Like, you know what I mean? I want to see hockey in cities where they love the game. And that's why, you know, when Minnesota got their team back, I was so happy. When Winnipeg got their team back, I was so happy. Like, cause those are cities that they love hockey. That's why they're at the games. And that's why, you know, it's not always like, I mean, okay, fine. You said take out all the external factors. Okay. So then I want to see hockey back where the fans love it.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you there. I think that you need if we're just talking about that, you know, it's pretty much a sure thing that if you would put a team back in Quebec, I think that it would work. And like you said, the fans deserve it. And I think that it would sort of be like the Winnipeg deal there when people sign up for, you know, season tickets for 3 years or whatever, right off the bat. So, yeah, definitely Quebec. But that leaves one more team if we want to balance out the conferences. And so I want you to pick another team that would just make sense. And now it's purely business standpoint. What team, what city do you think would be the best business for the NHL?
Well, I mean, you know, I want to say Seattle because I think it would work there, but, you know, they need the arena. So if they had the arena, I would say Seattle, no, you know, no contest. But at this point, I think Las Vegas is the only thing that makes sense. There's no other. I mean, you know, I know there was talk of Kansas City a few years ago, but I'm not sure about that. So I think that I would have to say, to be honest, I mean, I would love to see how Las Vegas would be with the team. I really would, because I, you know, it is a very untapped market. There is nothing there. I mean, all the focus would be on hockey, which in, like, let's say, you know, when Atlanta had a team, the focus was not on hockey. And so, you know, it didn't work. Twice it didn't work. And, you know, they gave up on that, which, you know, finally. But as for Vegas, I mean, we don't know. It could end up being great. I would love to see it. And, you know, just by a business standpoint and, you know, just the arena and everything, I don't think there's anywhere else at this point that would make sense more than Las Vegas.
I'll have to go with Toronto.
Really?
I think there's enough hockey crazy people in Toronto and, you know, the outlying regions there they could actually have a second team. I think if you put the Marlies up in the NHL, it would work. I'm not saying it would be the Marlies. It would probably be something else. I don't know what to call them. Let's call them the Toronto Polar Bears or something. I don't know. But, yeah, I definitely think that would work. It's just amazing the amount of just crazy fans they have up there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've lived in Toronto for several years, and I actually just recently lived there. So and, you know, there was a lot of talk about, you know, building the arena in a city kind of like not really close to downtown. So it's like, you know, it's a fair distance, I guess. Not a huge distance, though. It's probably about a half an hour away or maybe less. And, you know, they're really serious about it. And I think it would work. I mean, the thing with Toronto, I mean, I don't know. That's just like a lot of teams all kind of close together, because you got Buffalo as well. You got Detroit. There definitely is a market there, and I know it would work. Like, I have no doubts it would work, but I don't know. I'm not sure if Buffalo would be thrilled about that. You know what I mean? Because a lot of fans in Buffalo are already from Toronto. So, you know, you put another team in Toronto, they don't have to cross the border anymore. You know what I mean? So I'm not sure about how they would feel about that.
Yeah, no, I can understand that, especially since Buffalo is struggling a bit on the ice, although they've done better as of late.
Yes, they have.
beat the Kings here the other night, so good for them. Yeah, and I don't think that we'll ever see a team in, you know, like Alaska or something like that. It's just it's too far away.
Yeah.
Those would be some pretty grueling away games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is it for this week's episode. If you guys have any suggestions on topics, if you want us to talk about a certain team, player, or whatever, send us a tweet. You find me at Seb Norton. That's SEBNOREN. And you can find Marcy at
Marcy THW. So that's MARCYTHW.
Great. And yeah, have a great hockey week, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.